Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 5th, 2016, episode 12.10, the Week 5 preview show. Man, the month of September went just like that. It was gone. But once again, I am here to tell you that I am the smartest man alive.
I am the smartest man alive!
That's right. As the Raiders hand the Ravens their first loss of the season in Baltimore, the Raiders are hot on the road right now. 3-0 on the road to start the season. Not bad. I've got a rant this week on Odell Beckham Jr. I'll tell you why. I've also got a rave this week, and I'm raving on head coach Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings and the undefeated 4-0 Minnesota Vikings. What can the league do about all the concussions happening to quarterbacks around the league? I'll discuss that. And what's going on in Indianapolis? Plus, look who's back to lead the evil empire. Is that Tom Brady walking out? I think it is. Lots to talk about. I'll quickly recap week 4 and give you all the picks for week 5. And this week, Sky Sports' very own Richard Graves is putting his picks up against mine for the fans. We'll go through all of them. Richard and I differ on a few games, and it's the fans' turn to pick the challenge game. So let's chomp it in. Here we go. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Real quickly, we'll just do some housekeeping. Kevin White, wide receiver of the Chicago Bears, placed on injured reserve with a high ankle sprain and a fracture of his left fibula. Bad for this kid. Last year, his rookie season was pretty much, he missed the entire year. Now, after just playing a few weeks in his sophomore campaign, he has to be shelved for the season again. Not good for the Chicago Bears, and especially not good for Kevin White. That's some bad news there. Before I get to the rant on Odell Beckham Jr., just a couple other injuries of note. Carson Palmer is ruled out for Thursday night football against the 49ers because of a concussion. Trevor Siemian didn't practice today, but he expects to start Sunday as the Denver Broncos play against the Atlanta Falcons. Gronkowski, tight end of the New England Patriots, who we'll get to in a moment, who were shut out for the first time in, I don't know, God knows how long, at home. He's talking about his hamstring, and obviously his hamstring holding him back. Hasn't done much this year. If you were playing fantasy football and you drafted him in the first round, you've been getting a bunch of nothing from him. So that's got to hurt a little bit. And that's pretty much it. I think Verrett, I think, was also placed on IR and is out for the remainder of the season. That's the San Diego Chargers cornerback, Jason Verrett, and he will also be out. The injury bug has hit pretty much every single team this year, but the question I have today is, what in the world is going on with the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, this team with Andrew Luck at quarterback should be winning a lot of football games. They lost again last week in against Jacksonville in London for the first international series game this year. And, you know, everybody's saying Andrew Luck's not the same. Andrew Luck's, you know, he's in his prime and he should be, you know, doing great in this offense. But the fact of the matter is, look, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot with that offensive line. That offensive line has not been good at all. Andrew Luck spends most of the game running around for his life. He constantly has to get out of the pocket to try and make throws. And that's tough on anyone. Plus, he is getting hit almost every time he drops back. to throw the football. He is taking some pretty bad shots. He's been sacked a lot. And it's not all on Andrew Luck. Who's to blame? Everybody's like, who's to blame? And Jim Irsay, it's interesting because he had a chance at the beginning of the season, end of last season, beginning of this season, to clean house and bring in a new staff. And instead, he decided to keep both the GM, Ryan Grigson, and head coach Chuck Pagano. And, you know, I don't know what it is about Pagano. And everybody loves him. Everybody thinks he's a great guy. I just am not sure he can get the best play from that team. And I'll tell you why. Remember when he went down and there was the whole Chuck Strong and Bruce Arians took over the Indianapolis Colts, and the Indianapolis Colts actually went pretty far into the playoffs. And that was all Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians left, got his head coaching gig with the Arizona Cardinals, and Chuck Pagano has not been able to do anything with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, last year, Andrew Luck got hurt, and that had a little bit to do with it. But even when he was playing, and this year he's been playing, they just don't look very good. They don't look very disciplined. Ever since Dante Moncrief went out with injury, the passing game, T.Y. Hilton disappears for long stretches of games. They don't have a rushing attack of any kind. I mean, I love Frank Gore, but he is past his prime, way past his prime. I don't think they've had a 100-yard rusher in something like 24-plus games or something ridiculous like that. I don't know the exact number. If I had a researcher, I'd get it for you, but I don't. So I'm just going to throw the number of 23 or 24. It's a long time since they've had a 100-yard rusher. It's not very good. And so they're asking Andrew Luck to pretty much do it all. And with that offensive line and the way that they're just struggling to protect him, you got to do something. They have to do something. Grigson has got to step up and do something. And right now, he's the guy I'm going to look at. I'm going to be like, hey, you put this team together. You didn't put an offensive line in front of Andrew Luck. You can't ask him to pull rabbits out of hats every week. And that's just what happened last week in London. He tried to pull a rabbit out of hat. I mean, I think they fell down. They were down 20-3 or something crazy like that. He, you know, got them all the way back. And in the end, he just didn't have enough time. Then Pagano, who I question a little bit, made an interesting choice. They were down, the Indianapolis Colts were down to the Jacksonville Jaguars in that game with like 3 minutes left. And the Colts defense did its job. They punted, they made the Jags punt. Indianapolis had the ball. And they had like a 4th-and-2 or 3. And yeah, they were deep in their own end zone, but there was like 2.5 minutes left. What did Pagano do? He decided to punt the ball. He's like, we'll stop them and we'll get the ball back. Sure, they did that, but with no timeouts, I think the Colts got the ball back with like 23 seconds or something ridiculous like that. The move on 4th-and-3 with 2 and change left and you don't have a whole heck of a lot of timeouts is to go for it. That's the move. He decided against that, and, you know, I'm not going to say they would have gotten it, but they certainly would have had a better opportunity than playing defense, holding the Jags, getting the ball after they punt, and only having 20 seconds left in the game. He's done some questionable decisions as a head coach, and obviously Grigson, obviously he's someone that you have to point at as well and say, you have got to do something about your offensive line, and some of the guys that you let go, you start to question it. You have to start to question it because maybe those guys could be helping out right now. So let's look back at last week in the NFL, week 4. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana, Sunday Night Football on NBC, turned out to be not such a special game. The Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Kansas City Chiefs, and oh my God, beat down. 43-14 was the final. The score was 29-0 at halftime. Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers bounced back from that debacle the week before against the Philadelphia Eagles
and took it to the Chiefs. The Chiefs were never in this football game, and I make it El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana, thinking it's going to be a great football game to watch. And, oh, my God, lo and behold, it was not. Straight on spank down. Kansas City Chiefs are not a football team that can afford to go down by that many points. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, you get a 14-17-point lead on this team, they're incapable of coming back. I'm sorry. I like Alex Smith. I think if you've been listening to the show, you know how much I like Alex Smith. But with the weapons he has, he is not capable of leading a team back from 17 points. People can say, but Steven, week one against the San Diego Chargers, they came back, man. They came back. Yeah, they came back against the San Diego Chargers. But so does everybody. The New Orleans Saints came back against the San Diego Chargers this week and won 35-13. 35-34, and that's when the Chargers had a 13-point lead deep in the fourth quarter. And they let the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, come back and beat them with two touchdowns late in that game. And that was because the Chargers fumbled the ball away on back-to-back offensive possessions. 35-34 was the final in that one as New Orleans gets its first game win of the season. And I tell you what, we got a bunch of 1-3 teams all over the place. There's only one team left with a big goose egg in the win column. That's the Cleveland Browns. But you know what? That's the Cleveland Browns, people. And I can't even, you know, I think they've had to play four quarterbacks in 4 weeks. That is just not going to win you a lot of football games. Your first stringer goes down week one. Their second stringer goes down at the end of week one, beginning of week two. And then you got to go to your rookie, Cody Kessler, and he gets bumped and bruised. It's just not good for Cleveland. They're 0-4, and they're probably 2 or 3 weeks away before I put them on 0-16 watch. They're the only team that hasn't won a game. Everyone else has won at least one game. And then you have your couple of undefeateds. You have the 4-0 Broncos. You have the 4-0 Vikings. And the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles, who were on a bye last week, along with the Green Bay Packers. That's pretty much the scenario. But there's a handful of 2-2 teams. And then there's a bunch of 1-3 teams. 1-3, 1-3, 1-3. They're everywhere. And I do not know what to make of those 1-3 teams. Including in those 1-3 teams are the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers that got embarrassed by the Atlanta Falcons, 48-33 beatdown in Atlanta. Julio Jones terrorizes the Panthers secondary, puts up 300 yards receiving. Ouch. They made Matt Ryan look like he was a superstar in the league. Panthers are struggling at 1-3, and everybody's wondering what in the world is going on in the city of the Queen. Now, the Arizona Cardinals also lost last week to the Los Angeles Rams. Rams, a surprising 3-1, in first place in the division, with wins over the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. Their only loss was that opening night, Monday Night Football debacle against the San Francisco 49ers, who, by the way, find themselves at 1-3 after losing to the Dallas Cowboys 24-17. The Rams are looking good, and it's all because of their defense. That defense is straight out balling, y'all. They are playing great football on the defensive side of the field. Who cares that Case Keenum is at quarterback and that offensive line isn't doing and opening much holes for Todd Gurley? That's okay. As long as they can keep putting up 17, 20, 24 points every week, that defense is going to hold a lot of people under 20 points. I tell you what, if they can continue to do that, the Rams are going to win a bunch of football games. I'm starting to feel very good about my preseason prediction of putting the Rams in the playoffs as the wild card team. They're looking good right now at 3-1. Once again, I am the smartest man alive. Why?
I am the smartest man alive!
Because Nick took the Baltimore Ravens. I took the Oakland Raiders on the road. I was saying the Raiders can win on the road this year. And for the third time this year, they've won on the road. They're 3-0 on the road for the first time since the days of Madden, probably. I don't know how long ago it's been since they've won three straight road games. But they have. They're looking better on the road than they are at home. Their only loss, by the way, the Raiders are 3-1. Their only loss was to Atlanta in Oakland. So now Oakland, all they have to do is put it together at home in front of their fans and start winning some football games on the West Coast, because going to the East Coast has not been a problem for this year. 28-27. Speaking of East Coast, the New England Patriots got knocked off the ranks of the undefeated, and they did so in spectacular fashion, losing 16-0, getting shut out at home by the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills! The Rex Ryan Buffalo Bills. Now, I know what y'all are thinking, Steven. They had Brissett. They had their third-string quarterback out there. Gronkowski's hobbling around on one leg. LeGarrette Blount wasn't all that effective. Brissett turned the ball over in the red zone. They were not the Patriots, but you know what? Nobody was complaining or saying anything about the Patriots when they won their first three games. Hey, they lost. The Bills went in there, hit them in the mouth a couple times, and walked away with a 16-0 victory against the division rival New England Patriots. They're one game back, people. That's all they are of New England. They're 2-2 while the Patriots sit at 3-1. Good news for Patriots fans. Here comes Tom Brady. That's right. The Emperor gets his Darth Vader back as Belichick and Tom Brady are reunited after he spends 4 weeks on the shelf serving his 4-game suspension. But he's back. People are saying he's back at practice and he's a little rusty. But trust me, I don't want to be the Cleveland Browns this week. And I feel actually a little sorry for the Cleveland Browns that the NFL did this to them and they make them face Tom Brady the week he comes back from serving a 4-game suspension. Sorry, Cleveland. The line right now is New England -9.5. Give the points, y'all. Give the points. It's not even going to be close. One, the Patriots got embarrassed last week at home. They didn't score any points, and they got Tom Brady back. The score is going to be something like, it's either going to be, here's the deal. It's either going to be something like 50-0, or it'll be really close. Because for whatever reason, unknown to me, the Cleveland Browns play Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots really well. They beat them just a few years ago. And last year, they were leading the entire game and lost in the final moments in the fourth quarter to the Patriots. So, in recent history, the two times they've played, they're 1-1. Browns, for whatever reason, really get up for this game against the Patriots. But I think with Brady coming back, they're just going to go out and they're going to pummel the Browns. And I feel sorry for Cleveland fans everywhere. Another score of note for Week 4, Monday Night Football. The Minnesota Vikings tore up the New York Giants 24-10. Eli Manning looked, well, like Happy Feet again. He just was not comfortable in the pocket at all in that game. And that defense is for real, people. The Minnesota Vikings are 4-0, looking good, and they're doing it with defense. And Sam Bradford, you got to applaud the kid. He is playing just for a guy who just came in at the beginning of the season, was there for like 4 weeks before the season started. Sean Hill got him that first win against Tennessee, did enough to get that win. Then 3 straight wins, Sam Bradford has done enough to get wins himself. You got to give him a round of applause. He came in, learned that offense, and is getting comfortable week after week after week. I did not believe it. I did not see this coming. And therefore, here comes my first rave of the year. My rave is a hat tip and a salute to Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. This is a man who came up here and stood at the podium and told everybody who would listen, if you count us out, you're making a mistake. We are not going to lay down and die because we lost our signal caller. We love Teddy Bridgewater, and he is our guy. But when Teddy Bridgewater went down, he said to a man, you'll make a mistake if you count us out. And they made a trade. They brought in Sam Bradford, and he got that offense going. But more importantly, he got his defense believing in his system, and they are playing lights out right now. one of the best defenses on the football field week after week. Then they lose Adrian Peterson, and he goes down with a severe injury. So now you've got your starting quarterback out for the year. You got your star running back out most likely for the year. And people just, he just keeps going and saying, don't count us out. We're going to keep playing. And for him to infuse his energy and his passion into his football team to get them to play and play hard with all of the adversity that they have faced so early on this season, and for them to be 4-0 is pretty miraculous. I had tip to him and rave to him and the Minnesota Vikings organization, because I, who had the Minnesota Vikings in the championship game in my preseason prediction, changed that when Teddy Bridgewater went down. I was like, I don't know if they can get it done with Sean Hill and or Sam Bradford. I made changes to my season prediction because I did not listen to the head coach, who knew his team well enough, who said, don't count us out. I know we lost our signal caller a couple weeks into the season. We lost our star running back. But you know what? He got his team playing ball. He got his team believing. That secondary is pretty fierce. They get to the quarterback with a pass rush of rushing only four guys, and that is fantastic. Once again, rave to you, Mike Zimmer, for believing in yourself and your football team when nobody else, including yours truly, didn't give you a shot. That's saying something right now. And at 4-0, that is one of the teams to look out for in the NFC, because I should have just stayed with my original prognostication of having the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game, because I think the way they're playing football right now, defensively, they can go as far as anyone else in the football league, in the National Football League right now. All right, quickly, the final score between the Redskins and the Browns, 31-20. The Redskins improved to 2-2, dropping the Browns, keeping them winless at 0-4. Then last Thursday night, on Thursday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins came out with a bang. Boom! Strike! Tannehill, Kenny Still, 7-0 lead. And they never scored a point again. The Bengals took care of business at home, 22-7 over Miami on Thursday Night Football. One other score, the Seattle Seahawks took care of the Jets in New York, 27-17. Seahawks getting back to their winning ways, back-to-back weeks of scoring over 24 points. All right, that was week four in a nutshell. But before I get to my picks of week five, putting up against Richard Graves, Gravesy of Sky Sports News, he is putting picks for the fans up. Before I get there, it's time for a rant. A rant on New York Giant wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, those silly buttons, I tell you. Sometimes they just get in the way. All right, so if you didn't watch Monday Night Football, Odell Beckham Jr. had a little tissy fit again, this time going up against Rhodes, the cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings. Odell was flagged and given an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and he was pretty much warned, one more, and you're going to get tossed. Immediately after that, two plays later, as a matter of fact, he goes out, he shoves Rhodes away from him, which I can't believe they didn't throw a flag for offensive pass interference. He catches a pass from Eli, he does a spin move, and steps out of bounds. And he is out of bounds about 3 yards while Rhodes is coming down the sideline. Rhodes eases up because he sees Odell is out and no longer can tackle him. But Odell initiates contact, lowers his shoulder, and goes into Rhodes. To which Rhodes took offense because, hey, I eased up because I'm not going to hit you out of bounds, yet you're coming to me to initiate contact. That was a bogus move, and I cannot believe the ref did not throw another flag at him for his second unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and get him out of the game. Look, last year, the whole Josh Norman thing, and he's saying now, oh, that whole game against the Panthers, it tarnished my reputation. You're right. You headhunted Josh Norman and a couple of those Carolina Panthers last year, and everybody saw it. Then this year, at the beginning of the season, the Bills started talking about you and things that you were doing. Now, week two, you play the Washington Redskins. It's all about Norman versus Odell again. Odell goes off again, and he has some chippy moments with Josh Norman. And so that's to be expected because of the history from the year before. Week three, he's pretty much quiet, held in check, doesn't do a whole lot. Now week four, held in check again. I think he only had 23 yards and a couple catches. And he's going at Rhodes again. Look, man, you have a problem with defenders. And the problem is a bed that you made. You created this situation when you started headhunting cornerbacks last year. This is the bed you made. Now you got to lie in it. To be after the lock in the locker room after the game and complaining about how he's got a target on his back and I guess everyone's against him and nobody cares for him and crying. Oh, my God, please, man up. This is the situation that you created for yourself. Now today, this morning, he's talking to Marks, a female reporter for ESPN, and telling him that he's not having fun playing football no more. I'm not having fun playing football. And football's my sanctuary, and I want to be happy playing football. It's not fun anymore. Please! Are you kidding me? You are a wide receiver in the city of New York in the National Football League. It can't get more fun than that. It can't get more fun than that. The New York Giants are paying you millions of dollars. You're known worldwide. You got a lot of money in your pocket, and you're playing the greatest sport on the planet. Please! You trying to tell me you're not having fun? Come on, man. Don't play the victim here for something you created. You are playing the victim, and you started this yourself by going after Josh Norman last year when he was a Carolina Panther. You created this. Now you got to end it. Now you have got to be a man and step away from all the verbal taunts that every cornerback you face from now on is going to give you. Because they're going to come. They're going to talk smack. They're going to say stuff about your mama. They're going to say stuff about your girlfriend. They're going to say stuff about you. And it's going to keep coming all year long. Why? Because this is what you created, Odell Beckham Jr. So don't come crying to me. Don't come crying to the NFL or reporters from ESPN saying that you're not having fun playing football and you're a target and everybody's against you. Please. My goodness. A man who is getting paid millions as endorsements and millions to play a great sport, and he says he's not having fun anymore. Time to get up, wake up, and grow up, Odell Beckham Jr. Step up and come to the reality that you created this situation for yourself. And now you have to be a man to end it. Don't get into any more little tissy fight arguments. People, let them yap. Do your job. Catch passes. Score touchdowns. Let them say whatever they want behind your back. Walk away and go back to the huddle. Because I'll tell you what, dog, sport, whatever you want me to call you, Mr. Odell, OBJ, 5 straight games dating back to the final game last year, you have 0 touchdowns. Elite wide receivers don't disappear for 5 games in a row. That just doesn't happen. Time for you to man up. Time for you to step up. Time for you to focus on playing football for the New York Giants and let all that other nonsense slip away. Thank you very much. That's my rant. Let's get to week 5. All right, Richard Graves, who last year had 3 very good weeks against me. But here we go. We'll start in Denver with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Denver Broncos hosting the red-hot Atlanta Falcons. This is going to be a good one, people. Gonna be a good one. Atlanta 3-1, Denver 4-0, and that's why it's got to be the biggest game of the week. You've got a lot of firepower. Now, you got a really good red-hot offense going against a really good red-hot defense. The Denver Broncos are looking really good on the defensive side of the ball, and Trevor Siemian, as we said earlier in the show, most likely going to start at quarterback again for the Broncos. He's throwing the ball around. But what the Broncos have shown over their four victories is they can win a whole lot of different ways. One week, they win a low-scoring, brutal defensive type of a game. Last week, he threw four touchdown passes. They went all air crazy throwing the football. He got hurt last week. In comes Paxton Lynch, and I think the first nine plays that Paxton Lynch ran were passes. That tells you a lot about Gary Kubiak and what he thinks he has in Denver. If I can, you know, if Trevor Siemian can't do it or he goes down, I got Paxton Lynch, and I'm not going to change a thing. I'm going to let him air it out and throw the ball around as well. So first round pick, pick 26 pick overall, Paxton Lynch stepped in, and they looked just as good as they did with Trevor Siemian there at quarterback. So I like the Denver Broncos in this one. I think Denver is going to go a few weeks before they lose. Richard has the Denver Broncos as well. We think Atlanta will fall to 3-2. We just think the defense is going to be able to take the one guy away that Atlanta focuses on, and that's Julio Jones. Once they take Julio Jones away, take Jacob Tammy away, they're not going to be able to run the football against Denver in Denver. We both like the Broncos to start El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. We'll move on to Games of the Week. 3, 4, 5, 6 games of the week. That's six games that we think are going to be and have some really good matchups. We'll start in Cleveland as the Cleveland Browns play the New England Patriots. Now, hold on one second. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Steven, you said it was going to be a blowout. It's going to be 50-0. Cleveland's undefeated. What the heck are they doing in a game of the week? You got to see Tom Brady come back. Love or hate the Empire, you got to see Tom Brady come back, right? You got to see Darth Vader make his first appearance onto the stage this football season. That is the only reason why, my friends, the Patriots at Browns is game of the week. You got to take a look at Tom Brady. Is he going to come back with a mission? Is he going to be on a mission to terrorize the league and put up another 50 touchdown passes to stick it to Goodell and say, go ahead and sit me another four games. I don't care. I'm going to terrorize the league, and we're going to run up the score on everybody like they did a few years ago when they went 60-0? Or are we going to get a rusty, older Tom Brady who might not be as sharp because he's been sitting on the bench for 4 weeks? That's why it's a game of the week. You got to see that. You want to see that. But I think that they're going to be pretty sharp. I think they're very happy to get Tom Brady back, no matter how much rust he has on him. And Gravesy has the Patriots winning as well. Sorry, Cleveland. You're going to go to 0-5. And this is one of those games that scares me a little bit because absolutely nobody is giving the Cleveland Browns a chance. And typically when that happens, that's when they find a way to win. I just don't think it's going to happen in Tom Brady's return. He'll find whatever. He'll do whatever it takes to be able to get the win. So we both have the Patriots there. Moving on to Philadelphia facing Detroit in Detroit, going to Detroit to face the Lions. And this is going to be an interesting game for two things. One, you've got the Eagles coming off a bye. Now, they were really high. Remember, they started 3-0. And everybody was talking, oh, Carson Wentz, and this is great, and the Eagles are looking good. And I think for a lot of teams, an early bye week is not good, but I don't think it's especially good for the Philadelphia Eagles because they were on a roll. Now they got to kind of build that momentum back up. And the Detroit Lions got embarrassed last week by the Chicago Bears. This game that everybody thought Detroit was going to win, and they didn't. Matt Stafford did not look as sharp. Neither did Marvin Jones, the wide receiver. They couldn't run the football. So I think the Detroit defense is going to get after Wentz a little bit. I think that they are going to find a way to get at Wentz and kind of get him off his spot and try to rattle the rookie a little bit. I'm not saying Detroit's going to win. As a matter of fact, I am not saying Detroit's going to win because I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think it's going to be a very good game. It's going to be very close. I don't think the Eagles will blow Detroit out of the water as they did a la 2 weeks ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It'll be a close game. And in the end, the Philadelphia Eagles will win. But I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit throws all kinds of different defensive packages at the rookie to rattle him and get him off his spot and possibly try to pull up the upset. But both Graves and I have Philadelphia, and we'll stick with that. Moving on to Minnesota, the brand new facility there, as the Minnesota Vikings host the Houston Texans. This is going to be a great game. You have the undefeated Minnesota Vikings, and you have the Houston Texans coming to town at 3-1. This is where you're going to find out the truth about the Texans. All right? They're sitting there at 3-1, leading their division, and they think everything's all hunky-dory and looking pretty good. But now Brock Osweiler has to go into a hostile environment. Minnesota's going to get after him. Remember the last time the Houston Texans had to go on the road? Yeah, the New England Patriots spanked them with a third-string quarterback. Shut them out, as a matter of fact. Now you've got a Minnesota Vikings defense that's more fierce than that Patriots defense. How is Brock Osweiler going to step up and meet the challenge? That's what I want to see. That's why this is game of the week. I don't think they could do it. As a matter of fact, I don't think the Houston Texans score more than 10 points in this football game. I've got the Minnesota Vikings, and so does Graves. Man, so far we've agreed on every pick, and that is pretty weird. But it's because Graves just doesn't want to hear me say,
I am the smartest man alive!
So he's backing up. He's backing up because I'll go boom right on top of him. We agree so far. We both have Minnesota. Let's move on. The New York Jets travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers sitting at 3-1. Jets at 1-3 on the bottom of their division. Sitting down there in the AFC East looking up at the Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots. I guess Miami's down there with them at 1-3 as well. But we both like the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers got off the snide and took it pretty hard to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the New York Jets, you know, at 1-3, they've lost a couple close games. They lost by 1 point to Cincinnati. Last week, Seattle handled them pretty good. Their one win was the Thursday night week two victory against the Buffalo Bills, a game that I thought they would lose as well. And they came out, they played flawlessly. Ryan Fitzpatrick, are you ready for this number? In 2 weeks, has turned the ball over 9 times. I didn't make a mistake, and I don't even need to research that. I know because I've seen every single one of those turnovers. 6 the week before against Kansas City, 3 last week against Seattle, 9 turnovers in 2 weeks. That is not – no, you're not going to win any football games if your quarterback continues to turn over the ball that much. Pittsburgh Steelers have not been creating many turnovers this year, but the defense does move the football well. The Jets have to hold on. They have to find a way to not turn over the ball like they have over the last couple weeks because they're not going to win any football games. Doesn't matter. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. There's just something about playing at home. They love it there. That crowd gets crazy with the towels, and it's a tough place to play for opponents. I like Pittsburgh to win this game, and so does Graves. Now we're going to start looking at some games where we're going to differ on, and we'll head to Dallas, where the 3-1 Dallas Cowboys host the 2-2 Cincinnati Bengals. This is a late game, afternoon game, and right now the Cincinnati Bengals are favored by a point. One little point. But they're on the road. Graves, which is kind of shocking here, is taking the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got the Dallas Cowboys. They are playing with so much confidence right now. And if I had time on this show, I would have another rave on Marinelli and how he has gotten the Dallas Cowboy defense to play so well without their star pass rushers, who they get back for this game. So it's going to be very interesting to watch Dallas now that they've got these guys coming back on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to get after Andy Dalton. I think they will neutralize A.J. Green, and they will themselves continue to dominate the time of possession with Ezekiel Elliott. I cannot say enough about this young rookie. But I'm going to tell you something about this young rookie. He leads the league in rushing with 412 yards. That is in itself is impressive for a rookie to come in, and after a week one kind of stinker against the Giants, I think he only rushed for like 63 yards that game. And you're like, whoo, man, this kid needs some work. But he has stepped it up in subsequent weeks, three very solid weeks, 138 last week against the 49ers, 140 the week before that. Kid is running lights out, and he has got himself and his team believing that he can lead their team to victory just by simply grinding the ball and running the ball. He's doing it. He's being more efficient. I think the 138 yards were only on 22 carries last week. That's a very good average. And the Cincinnati Bengals have been giving up big, big gashing yards to run opposing running backs. I think the Dallas Cowboys will do the same thing. They're still not going to ask Dak Prescott to do too much, although I wouldn't be surprised if this is the week that Jason Garrett finally lets the kid throw the ball over 20 yards. Bryce Butler on the field replacing Dez Bryant because Dez is out with a knee injury. I think Bryce Butler is going to start to take some shots down the field, and you may see some big, big offensive plays come via the passing game and not so much dink and dunk. He'll still do with plenty of dink and dunk, which the Cowboys have been doing. You got to hand it to the kid, rookie QB, who has thrown, I think, 148 pass attempts now and no interceptions during that time. I think that's the longest such streak for a rookie quarterback to start a season, start a career, actually. I like Dallas. I don't know why Richard Graves likes the Cincinnati Bengals. He didn't give me any reasons. And it's odd because, you know, if you don't know Richard Graves, you should know his affinity towards which football team he supports. But he thinks Cincinnati can go on the road and beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think otherwise that might be a challenge game. We'll see what happens. Moving on to Los Angeles, where the Rams finally get to come back home. It's been since week two since they played a home game. They've gone on the road now, back-to-back weeks, and gotten some pretty impressive wins. Most recently last week in Arizona, and the Cardinals losing at home again. Not a good sign for Bruce Arians' club. Rams hosting the Buffalo Bills. Here come the Buffalo Bills after starting 0-2 and looking like they were going to be left for dead. The Buffalo Bills made a drastic change, I thought, firing their offensive coordinator. I thought, if anything, they should have fired their defensive coordinator, but kind of been tough for Rex to fire his own brother. But since that time, the Bills have played some really good football. They held the Patriots to 0 points last week, so that is something for the defensive coordinator, at least. Here they come. And I think this is going to be a very, very huge defensive struggle for both teams. I believe the over-under in this game, listen to this, is 39.5. That tells you how much scoring Vegas thinks is going to happen in this football game. I think that's a tricky line. I think it could go over because I could easily see this score being 24-20, something like that. Which would go over the 39.5, but most likely it'll be under. I'm just going to stay away from that line. I don't like it at all. I think the Rams will win this football game again. Just if you go defense on defense, look, Carson Palmer held him in check. Jameis Winston held him in check. Russell Wilson held him in check. Some pretty big names there at the quarterback position. And the Rams' defense has done its job. I think they will stifle Tyrod Taylor. He won't be able to use his legs against them. And the Buffalo Bills are going to have to find a way to generate points because, as I said, the Rams will they'll lull you to sleep, man. They'll lull you to sleep, pounding you with that defense. And then the next thing you know, they score a couple quick points, and you're like, whoa, we're losing. That's exactly what happened to Arizona last week. I think that's going to happen to Buffalo this week. But Richard does not agree. He likes the Buffalo Bills to win this one. I don't know. If this game were in Buffalo, I might be apt to agree with Gravesy. But seeing as Buffalo has to travel all the way to the West Coast to play the Rams at home, I'm going to go with Los Angeles to get their second win in the Coliseum. And that does it for all the games of the week. Coming up, we've got games of interest. We start out in San Francisco Thursday night football as the 49ers host the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona is what I have to say. I have to believe it's a must-win game for them. They've already lost to the Rams. If they lose to San Francisco on the road, that would be a couple of division losses early in the season, dropping them to 1-4. If you start out the NFL season 1-4, are you ready for this? Your chances of making the playoffs are extremely minimal. You start the season 1-4. And you have a 7.9% chance of making the playoffs. And that is what the Arizona Cardinals are facing here. Because why? They're not going to have Carson Palmer to play in this football game. He's already been ruled out for the game as he's going through the concussion protocol that he suffered last week against the Rams. Drew Stanton came in, and he was an interception machine against the Rams. Now, the San Francisco 49ers don't have that great a defense. But come on, they're at home, and it's a short week. I'm picking Arizona to win. So is Richard Graves. But I can very easily see a situation much to like that Monday night football game to start the season in week one where the San Francisco 49ers just kind of got on a little roll. The ball bounced their way a couple times, and the next thing you know, they had a 21-0 lead on the Rams. That could very much happen here in the situation where if Drew Stanton does not protect the football for Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals are in danger of finding themselves starting at 1-4. And you know what? After 5 weeks of football, if you're 1-4, you are what you are. You're not a very good team at 1-4. That is what the Cardinals are trying to escape. And let's see what happens. We both have Arizona. In the next game of interest, the Washington Redskins travel not very far, just down the street, actually, to play the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore coming off their first loss of the season at the hands of the Oakland Raiders. And the Washington Redskins are trying to stay and keep pace with the rest of the NFC East. Washington, sitting there at 2-2, will take on the 3-1 Baltimore Ravens. And the Redskins are trying to find a rhythm. They started out the season pretty good and have since had a couple setbacks. Now they've got to deal with the Baltimore Ravens team that not a lot of people expected much of, but they're sitting 3-1 and they're playing some pretty good football at home, especially now that they've gone to Terrence West at the running back. That whole thing with Justin Forsett, and they cut him and then they re-signed him and then they kind of used him and then he didn't really live up to expectations. Now he's gone for sure. And Justin Forsett is actually out on Twitter trying to find a job right now. So if anybody knows of any running back positions that are available, you might want to reach out to Justin Forsett on Twitter because he is looking for a job. Besides that, now that they've gone to Terrence West, I like their running game a little bit more. Joe Flacco still, he's finding his rhythm. Mike Wallace is, I think, trying to resurrect his career and doing a pretty good job of it. I like Baltimore, and so does Graves. Washington looks to fall to 2-3. We'll see how that plays out. Next game of interest, the San Diego Chargers travel up the 5 freeway to Oakland to face the Oakland Raiders. Oakland are looking to get their first victory of the season at home, while the San Diego Chargers just want to get back to their winning ways. They sit at 1-3. Oakland sits at 3-1. Both Richard and I have the Oakland Raiders. There is a possibility in which I might change this pick to the San Diego Chargers. I'm not just yet. I can't see a team like San Diego bounce back from what's got to be a devastating loss. They had that game against New Orleans. They dominated New Orleans for the majority of that game. Two late back-to-back fumbles on the offensive side of the ball for San Diego lets New Orleans get back into it. Ultimately, they lose 35-34. Phillip Rivers is getting banged around just like he does every year. That guy's got to be tough as nails. But I've got Oakland, and so does Graves. The New York Giants travel to Green Bay to face the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Giants are 2-2, trying to figure out who they are, what's going on. They started the season 2-0, but have dropped two straight, and it's not looking really good. The Green Bay Packers are coming off a bye. They sit at 2-1, and they, too, are trying to figure out just exactly who they are. This game is at Lambeau Field. We both have the Green Bay Packers. Richard is taking Green Bay. I've got Green Bay. I just don't see how New York goes into Green Bay on a short week after that debacle in Minnesota and beats Aaron Rodgers. So we both like the Packers to get a win there and improve to 3-1. Final game of interest, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. And Carolina, much like the Arizona Cardinals, find themselves in a very interesting situation where a loss again to a division opponent could put them at 1-4. And we already know what happens if you start the season at 1-4. I don't think Carolina will allow that to happen. I think they go up and they find whatever fierce face that they had from last year and they get after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's the deal. Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have played Carolina pretty tight and pretty close. But Carolina needs a victory. They know they need a victory. Last time they lost, they bounced back and got a win. I'm going to stick with Carolina in this one at home, as is.
Is he?
Yes, he is. Graves is taking Carolina as well at home. This is Monday Night Football on October 10th on ESPN. We both like Carolina to get back to their winning ways, dropping Tampa Bay to 1-4. Final two nap games. They're nap games because, well, that's what they are. The Chicago Bears at 1-3. Travel to Indianapolis 1-3. The winner will have two wins. Woohoo! And Graves and I both like the Indianapolis Colts to win and get back in the win column there. Chicago got a good win against Detroit last week, but that's probably all she wrote for them for a while. They're not going to go on the road and beat the Colts. Final nap game, the Tennessee Titans at 1-3. Travel to Miami to face the 1-3 Dolphins. I told you there were a lot of 1-3 teams out there, people. We actually differ on this game. Mr. Graves is taking the Tennessee Titans. He thinks that Marcus Mariota and that running attack with Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray can go into Miami and get a win. I don't think so. I think Miami plays pretty good football at home. And just Tennessee is just not ready for prime time yet. I certainly don't believe they're ready for prime time, so I'll take the Dolphins. There you go. That is all the games and all the picks for Week 5. Jam, Mr. Graves, we differ on three games. I have Dallas at home. He's taking the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. I've got the Rams at home. He's taking the Buffalo Bills on the road. And I've got the Miami Dolphins at home. He's got the Tennessee Titans. Now, I've sent an email to Richard. He and I, we're different time zones. I really couldn't communicate with him today. Extremely busy at the office for both of us. And we didn't connect, so I didn't find out which game he would like to make the challenge game. So please make sure that you are following on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Go out to www.nflrnr.com. to find out which game becomes the challenge game. I'm going to let him. I've sent him an email, and he will respond most likely in the morning when he gets up and let me know which game he wants to be the challenge game. If he does not get back to me, what I will do is I will put a poll up on Facebook and on Twitter asking you guys to answer which one of these three should be the challenge games for the fans. If you have opinions, feel free to email me, Steven at RARN.net. I don't care which one he makes the challenge game. I feel pretty confident about all three of those games coming up my way. So that's all the time we have. I cannot believe we are starting week five. Bye weeks are in full force. This week you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kansas City Chiefs, New Orleans Saints, and Seattle Seahawks on a bye. One thing for you to watch, for the first time in the history of the international series, a team that played in London doesn't have a bye this week, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. They played in London last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and although Jacksonville got a bye, the Indianapolis Colts have to come back home and host the Chicago Bears. So that's very interesting to see what that kind of travel does to the Colts as they host the Chicago Bears. That's all the time I've got for you. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.